You're listening to Marketplace Weekend, where the economy meets real life. I'm Lizzie O'Leary. We're going to stay with education now. A lot of kids and families are going back to school and doing that shopping. And you heard that comment earlier. Last week, we talked about how much that costs parents and teachers every year. One listener, a teacher himself, brought up a good question about how taxes or tax holidays play a role in back-to-school spending.
Hello, my name is Andrew Green. I live in Washington, D.C., and for 10 years, I've been a high school music teacher in D.C. public schools. Maryland has a tax-free weekend for school supplies around this time of year. My mother, who grew up in Maryland, said that she remembered driving out to Delaware to buy school supplies because they have no sales tax. Are there other intersections between taxes and back-to-school around the rest of the country? Are they meant to take the strain off teachers and families, or are they meant to promote spending?
It turns out at least 16 states have sales tax holidays for the back-to-school season this year. And to answer some of Andrew's questions, we called Meg Weehee. She's the deputy director of the Nonpartisan Institute for Taxation and Economic Policy. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
So let's get a sense of what the purpose of these sales tax holidays actually is. I mean, is this to relieve the burden on parents and teachers? Is it to boost spending? Like, what's the point?
That's an excellent question. I think that the point has been lost over the years since these sales tax holidays were first put into place. The simple explanation is that they are a break, a 2 to 3 day break from paying sales taxes on a set of items.
And who does this benefit?
Ultimately, I really think that it benefits lawmakers more than anyone. Some would suggest that this benefits retailers because you have a lot of people in stores on the weekends of the holidays. But in truth, you know, research has found that's not the case. There is no real boost to retail sales simply because people need to buy these back to school supplies, and they just shift the timing of when they make those purchases to when the holiday is happening. The taxpayers themselves, those getting the break, not really the winners either, for a number of reasons.
Yeah, why not?
Well, for starters, in most of these states, let's take Alabama, for example. I looked at a list of back-to-school supplies that a family would have to purchase for a student at a school in Alabama. 4 boxes of crayons, a roll of paper towels, a box of storage bags. You know, the list sort of goes on. Altogether, that totaled to be about $35 that the family would have to pay for one student, for a whopping savings of $1.36. I think what it really begs the question of is why are families being asked to, families and teachers, by the way, to purchase classroom supplies in the first place? In reality, that family would save $34 if state lawmakers instead provided adequate revenues and funding for K-12 education, including classroom supplies.
Well, yeah, I mean, this gets to sort of larger questions of policy, tax policy writ more broadly behind all of this. I mean, state tax systems, as you have noted and studied, tend to take a decent chunk proportionally from working families' budgets. And I guess I'm curious, would a sales tax holiday give them a reprieve, or does it just not make enough of a difference when you look at somebody's bottom line?
Exactly. I mean, most of the states on the list of the 16 that have sales tax holidays have a very high reliance on sales taxes the other 362 or 363 days of the year. So while this family in Alabama may save on the holiday weekend, they're still every other day of the year paying a much larger share of their income in state and local taxes than those at the higher end of the income spectrum. And that's not just a problem for, you know, in the eyes of fairness of who should be paying, but it also leads to inadequate revenues over the long term.
One of the conversations that we've been having among our staff, I'm sort of searching back in my memory, and I could be wrong because I was a kid, but I don't remember parents and teachers paying for things like copy paper when I was in, you know, first and second grade. Have we seen a change over the past few decades in the way budgets are formulated and what parents and teachers are asked to float?
Absolutely. But what's really happened over the years in a number of states, and particularly some of the states on this list that offer sales tax holidays, is there's less and less of an investment in public education. And one then convenient way to make up for some of the lack of cash to go into our K through 12 spending is to ask teachers and parents to pay for classroom supplies. I have a child in public school. And when I look at the list, I think this is so nonsensical for each family, of each of the 20 families in my kid's classroom to buy these supplies rather than the school system, you know, purchasing them in bulk, right? I mean, I'm buying an individual roll of paper towels. I'm buying an individual box of tissue paper. It seems so inefficient.
So when I listen to all of this, I guess I wonder, why do these things exist at all?
I think that they're very popular political gimmicks that give lawmakers a lot of great publicity. The truth is that the cost to the state, the lost revenue, is not that great. You know, I used Alabama as an example before. The state holiday there will cost around $9 million, which is well less than 1% of state revenue collections in the state. If you're a lawmaker, you get, think about all that, you get all this free advertising, retailers are doing all of that work for you, and it looks like you're doing something great for your constituents. Well, it's a distraction from the bigger picture problem with these states upside down and inadequate tax structures.
Meg Wehe, Deputy Director of the Institute on Taxation and Economic Policy. Thank you so much.
Thank you.